Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 119, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
The Lord be with you.
If you'd like to be seated.
I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Baptism this morning. A special word of welcome this morning to the McAlevey family, the Bingham family, the Kellis family, as today we look forward to welcoming Ezra into the family of the church through holy baptism. Everybody's very welcome, and if you're visiting us for the first time, you're especially welcome. And we welcome also those who are joining us online this morning. And we hope that everybody will feel a part of all that happens as we worship together. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you'll have seen them on the way in, but just wanted to draw attention to one or two things that are a little bit different this week that don't happen every week. In particular, just wanted to mention tomorrow, while we have the toddlers in the morning, the BB, who normally meet in the church hall, are going to be meeting at Dundonald Ice Bowl at 6:45. That's tomorrow at 6:45 for the BB. On Tuesday morning, the crafters are not meeting on Tuesday morning, and the funeral service takes place at 10:30 of Mr. Michael Armstrong here in church. The Anchor Boys are meeting on Tuesday evening. And just also to mention, on Thursday, we have a meeting of the Mothers Union at 7:30 in the church hall. And we look forward to welcoming a speaker to that meeting who's going to speak about Hans Michael Sloan from Killalea. And we're going to hear a little bit more about him at the Mothers Union on Thursday evening at 7:30. This is the time of year when we normally renew our register of vestry persons. So if you've been attending the church and you're not registered in any other church, but you'd like to be registered as a member here, do please speak with the church wardens. They have some forms at the back of the church, and it enables you to vote at the annual business meeting of the church, the Easter General Vestry, which will take place in March. So if you haven't registered and you'd like to do so, please speak with the wardens at the end of the service. Our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we have the Connect service in the church hall. And next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Holy Communion. At this point, I'm going to invite Brian, who is our honorary treasurer, just to come to the front. He's going to make a little announcement about the reintroduction of the offering in our services, which we hope to be doing very soon, and Brian's going to just explain a little bit about that.
Thank you, Rector. I'm not sure whether many of you would know that I lived and worked in Africa, in Tanzania, for about 6 years. And over a 14-year period, traveled extensively in South Sudan, Congo, places like Rwanda, Burundi, and visited many remote churches and villages in those countries. And during that time, during the church services, during the church service, the offering would be taken, but it wouldn't be quite the same as the offering that would be taken in a traditional service here in St. Finian's. People would process up the aisle. Everybody in the church would take part and make their offering to Almighty God at the front of the church. And it was very moving at times to see people who had very little money, who had actually no money. They would have given live chickens, some maize corn, a bag of sugar, and they would have processed up very joyfully and give that as an offering to Almighty God. Now, we're not actually going to be doing that in St. Finian's, I'd just like to put you at ease. But we are, you will have noticed that we haven't actually been taking a physical collection in church services since the pandemic, so that's quite a number of years. We haven't actually been taking a physical offering during our church services. But we're going to reintroduce that practice from next week. So from the beginning of February, we'll reintroduce the lifting of an offering to Almighty God, and we will process up and offer that to God as our offering to Him each week. But during the pandemic, we realized that many people switched to standing orders and electronic giving, which is something we really want to encourage because it cuts out a lot of administration. But for those people who give electronically, you might notice on the pews a little card. It's called an offering token. So whenever the collection plates are passed around next week and from next week onwards, if you give electronically and you want to be part of the offering to Almighty God each week, just place on the collection plate a little token, basically to say, I'm giving my funds electronically to God. I'm not giving it through the traditional church envelope, but I'm giving it and will continue to give through standing order. So just use the little token as a way of being able to participate in your offering to God. So hopefully that's explained, and there's a little bit in the magazine that explains about that as well. And while I'm up here as well, I just thought I would take the opportunity just to remind people that if you give, if you pay tax of any sort, and if you give an offering to the church, that can be increased by 25%, your offering. If you give tax, the church can claim gift aid on the offering that you give to church. And last year and the previous years, the church has collected roughly around about £30,000 in gift aid. So it's a tremendous amount of money that we can collect at no extra cost to you as a taxpayer. You just have to fill in a form, and I'll be at the back of the church after the service. If this is something that you would like to consider, please just speak to me, and that would increase your giving by 25% at no extra cost to yourself. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Brian. Our service this morning is a very special service of holy baptism. Our Lord Jesus Christ has told us that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again of water and the Spirit, and has given us baptism as the sign and seal of his new birth. Here we are washed by the Holy Spirit and made clean. Here we are clothed with Christ, dying to sin that we may live his risen life. As children of God, we have a new dignity, and God calls us into a fullness of life. Holy baptism is administered to infants on the understanding that they will be brought up in the fellowship of Christ's church, that they will be taught the Christian faith, and that when they have publicly confessed their faith, they will be confirmed by the bishop and admitted into the Holy Communion. What we're going to do now is welcome Ezra and his family and godparents down at the font. we welcome Ezra, who comes to be baptized. Who presents Ezra to be baptized today?
We do.
Parents and godparents, will you accept the responsibilities placed upon you in bringing Ezra for baptism and answer on his behalf by your own prayers and example, by your teaching and love? Will you encourage him in the life and faith of the Christian community? In baptism, Ezra begins his journey in faith. You speak for him today. Will you care for him and help him to take his place within the life and worship of Christ's church?
With the help of God, we will.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, clothed in majesty, whose beloved Son was this day presented in the temple, in the substance of our mortal nature, may we be presented to you with pure and clean hearts by your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm now going to invite Ronnie Kells, Ezra and Daisy's very proud grandfather, to bring us today's reading.
The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the light of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Here endeth the lesson.
Thank you, Ronnie. During our next hymn, we're going to invite children to go through to Sunday school with their leaders. And our next hymn is hymn number 88, Fairest Lord Jesus.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. During the week when I met with Ezra's mum and dad, one of the things that we were discussing together was that Ezra is a biblical name. And if you're not familiar, Ezra is a book in the Old Testament, the first section of the Bible. and it tells us all about this amazing man of God, Ezra. And Ezra was someone who helped to keep the Israelite people together after a period of exile. And with his colleague Nehemiah, they were involved in rebuilding the temple. And Ezra's particular gift was helping people to see the importance of God's word and helping them to hear it and to understand it and to see how it could relate to their daily lives. And one of the exciting things for a fellow like me on a day like today is to be able to gaze out on the wonderful package that is the modern day Ezra, who was in his mum's arms back at the font when we were presenting him. And one of the things that I often speculate about on a day like today is, I wonder, what will Ezra do in the future? Will Ezra perhaps make some groundbreaking discovery in medical research? Will Ezra become a sporting superstar? We've some that come from around these parts. Will Ezra take his place in the world and grow into the person that God wants him to be? The name itself, Ezra, means helper. And as Ezra, with the help of God, with his parents and grandparents and godparents, begins to understand more of God's love for him, perhaps he, in turn, will go on to share that most precious of discoveries with his contemporaries. And maybe Ezra will be a real signpost or a light to those who are searching for hope and truth and meaning in their lives. We've just heard a couple of moments ago about the infant Jesus being presented in the temple in our Bible reading. And there seems to me to be quite a few parallels between that reading and what we are doing in bringing Ezra for baptism today. After a baby was born in the Jewish tradition, there were always some important traditions to observe. And one of those traditions was called the redemption of the firstborn. And that involved every firstborn male in a family being presented to God about a month after their birth. And the ceremony involved redeeming or buying back the child from God through an offering. And in this way, the parents would acknowledge that their child essentially belonged to God, who alone has the power to give life. And an offering was made in the form of a lamb for a burnt offering, or if the parents couldn't afford a lamb, they would bring a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And it was this offering of the poor that Jesus' parents brought when they presented him in the temple. So Jesus was not born with what we call the silver spoon in his mouth. He grew up in a family where they really struggled to make ends meet. And so he lived his earthly life in a very humble, a very ordinary home, where his parents simply wanted to observe these important ceremonies and to instill good values into his life. And as Jesus is presented in the temple, he has this absolutely beautiful encounter with two older people who have a deep relationship with God. Simeon and Anna are devoted people who spend a great deal of time in the temple. They're rooted in prayer and the scriptures, and they have a real sense of waiting for the promised Messiah. They've had revelations from God that these prophecies will be fulfilled in their lifetime. And Simeon has a particularly important revelation that we often sing at our evening service here in the form of a song
called the Nunc Dimittis. And in that revelation that Simeon received from God, he shares the truth that salvation or wholeness or peace with God is not a gift that's just for the Jewish people. It's for the Gentiles as well. Its reach is universal. It is available to all people. And while that offer is there for everyone, every single person, to have this beautiful relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it's an offer that requires a personal response. And so today, as Ezra's parents and godparents are making promises and commitments on Ezra's part in faith, it remains to be seen where Ezra will go with these promises. And that's why I always find it so beautiful to see these older people in the temple modeling to everyone else what's truly important in life. It's a joy on a day like today to have a beautiful ceremony with lovely music and liturgy and lots of friends around us. But my question today is, who is going to be this Ezra's Simeon and Anna? Who are the people in our congregation who are going to pray for him as he grows up? Who in Ezra's family is going to bring him to worship regularly? And who's going to pray for a new generation of Sunday school teachers and helpers who will teach just like the original Ezra and show this generation that amazing gift of faith, that as they grow up, they are beloved of God and precious to him? And who will make real to this generation the truth that no matter what they go through in life, God will be with them? We are blessed in this congregation to have many amazing older people who pray all the time for the work and the ministry of the church. Many of them are no longer able to come to public worship, but they pray in the quietness of their homes, sometimes in nursing homes. And there are also organizations within our church that seek to share the Christian hope, and there are groups that exist within the life of the church to support parents and grandparents and family life. And if the truth be told, sometimes we're inclined to take those people and those groups for granted. Maybe we think we're too sophisticated or too busy or whatever to participate in what they offer and prepare week by week. Immersing ourselves in the life of worship and prayer, as Simeon and Anna did, is no soft option. And that's why I'm incredibly grateful to those who pray consistently for the work of the church that goes on sometimes in very public ways, and then there are other elements that are quiet and hidden and yet so vital. So today, as we celebrate Ezra's baptism, let's resolve, just like the first Ezra, to be people who reflect on God's word, who help him and others to understand it and to apply it to their daily lives. And let's support Ezra's parents and godparents in their role in his life. And let's take to heart the model of Simeon and Anna, who were spiritually alive and alert to be able to recognize that the Messiah, the baby Jesus, was in their midst, and to see his significance as he came among them. Amen.
We're now at our point in our baptism service where we ask Ezra's parents and godparents to announce why they've made this decision and to declare their belief in God. So what we're going to do is meet together at the font at the back and we'll make our decisions. Do you turn to Christ?
I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works?
I do, by God's help.
Will you obey and serve Christ?
I do, by God's help.
And now to the congregation, everyone here who is listening. You have heard these, our brothers and sisters, respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling? Water's already in, and it's a good temperature.
We're good to go.
Yes, please. Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water to sustain, refresh, and cleanse all life. Over water, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through water, you led the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. In water, your son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us from the death of sin to the newness of life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we baptize into his fellowship those who come to him with faith. Now sanctify this water, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Ezra may be cleansed from sin and born again. Renewed in your image, may he walk by the light of faith, and continue forever in the risen life of Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Do you believe and accept the Christian faith into which Ezra is to be baptized?
I do.
Brothers and sisters in the congregation, will you join us as we declare our faith? I ask you to profess together with these candidates the faith of the church. All responses you need are on the screen. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe
and trust in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Name your child.
Ezra Arthur McAleafy.
Take it, Ezra. Hello, Ezra. Hello. Take a wee moment. Good man. Ezra Arthur McAleafy. I baptize you in the name of the Father. Yes. And of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Christ claims you for his own. Receive the sign of the cross. Live as a disciple of Christ. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Confess Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection. And look for his coming glory. Ezra, God has called you into his church. We therefore receive and welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ, as a child
of the one heavenly Father,
and as an inheritor of the kingdom of God. We're going to sing together now a hymn of welcome, hymn number 558, Abba Father. We're going to sing it through twice. And as we're singing, we're going to go for a wee walk and introduce Ezra.
Yeah, thank you.
If you want to come, you can.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that Ezra has now been born again of water and the Holy Spirit and has become your own child by adoption and a member of your church. Grant that he may grow in the faith, in which he has been baptized. Grant that he himself may confess it when he comes to be confirmed. Grant that he may bear witness to it by a life of service to others, and that all things belonging to the Spirit may live and grow in him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a special prayer for Ezra's home. Almighty God, we ask you to bless Ezra's home and to give such grace and wisdom to his parents and godparents and grandparents and all who have the care of him, that by their word and good example, they may teach them to know and love you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we want to pray this morning for our world as we think of the ongoing situations of conflict in Gaza and Israel. We pray too for those in Ukraine and Russia who feel the ongoing effects of war. We pray for all families who worry about their children serving in the army. We think of the spouses and children of soldiers in conflict situations. We also pray this morning for the peacemakers, for the leaders of governments and diplomats, and those who have the power to make decisions that could bring about ceasefire and negotiations for peace. Help them to be brave and give them wisdom, we ask, to create the conditions for peace in our world. Lord, in your mercy. We also want to pray this morning for those who are going through tough times. We pray for those journeying through grief, and we remember especially the Armstrong family circle as they prepare for Michael's funeral on Tuesday. We pray too for all children and parents who received AQE results yesterday, remembering especially those who felt disappointed that things didn't go as well as they'd hoped. May they know the important reality of your presence with them and your never-failing love. We also want to pray for those going through times of sickness at home or in hospital, remembering any known to us who are in our thoughts today. We pray particularly for Ezra's great-granny Elizabeth, unable to be with us this morning, and we ask that your healing hand of love would be upon all who we have remembered before you today. Lord, in your mercy. And we join all our prayers together in the prayer that our Savior Christ taught us as we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together now to sing a hymn that celebrates this day of Jesus' presentation in the temple. And it's hymn 203 in the hymn book. And if you're using the hymn book, we're omitting the asterisked verses, but all the verses will appear on the screen.
Thank you.
as our service comes to a close, we pray a prayer of blessing. God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. I'm now going to invite Elizabeth from our Mothers Union to come and give Ezra a gift on behalf of everyone here in the congregation.
It's great pleasure and privilege to give you this little book of prayers and graces that you can read to Ezra when he's a wee bit older. You're very welcome.
We have another gift for Ezra, and this one is a candle to remind him and his family that Jesus is the light of the world and that he has been baptized into the body of Christ that shares God's light. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and he's given us a place with the saints in light. Ezra, you have received the light of Christ. Walk in this light all the days of your life. Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 627, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Go in faith to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.